Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Oh, and Phil, we're but one day away from Australia Day. Oh, are we allowed to mention that?
No, you can't say that.
Yes, we can.
No.
Well, you can on this show.
Rick.
We wouldn't be here if we didn't have Australia Day.
And it's raining here too, Rick, in Gawler. What's going on?
Well, we needed it.
We did.
We certainly did. Anyway, we can't muck around because there's so much. Oh. Now, I cannot believe. Did you bring your calculator about the bowls?
No, we don't need it. I'll go through that quickly.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be
promise?
Peter Lukat said it's going to be a very quick session with your midweek bowls, and it is. We've copped a couple floggings the last couple of weeks, Rick, and it was our rink that copped the floggings too. So,
Can I interrupt for one moment, good listeners?
You can, no.
Because when I rang him this morning to ask what 36 minus 13 was, do you know what he had the nerve to tell me? That he bowled well.
I did. Happy the way I went, actually. It's funny. It's a funny game, the old bowls, but I was quite happy the way I went. But, got a hiding. Saturday's going okay. Lost to Southern by 7 shots. Our rink was up quite comfortably.
It'd be good if you could carry some of your weekend form into the midweek, wouldn't it?
It was the other way around going.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so that's enough of mine. Let's go on to the Bros and Light Bowling Association. Last week, Rick, Mount Pleasant played Yardunda, which was going to be a pretty good game.
Yes.
Mount Pleasant, 97, Yardunda, 80. So a 17-shot win there. My old mate, my old neighbour, Brendan Tahini, 34. Billy Marder, 16. So he had a big win there.
Big flogging.
Yep. Not as big as I got. Flogged.
That's true. But I was trying to save you the embarrassment.
No. I'm big, broad. That's these big, broad shoulders. This side of the.
Oh, I thought it was the stomach.
Next game, Lindock and Newry was going to be a good game.
Yes.
Right? Lindock 99, Newry 81. Now a couple of our listeners here played each other on the day.
Yes.
Sean Marnie 30 played Lockie Fuss, his first game skipping 17. So. Lockie's back to the drawing board for a while, hey?
And well, he'll get there.
Yeah, it's all good. Angaston played Kapunda. Now, I've got to admit, Kapunda had a few big guns out. Lukat out, a couple others out. I can't just think of the names, but doesn't matter. He's the big name out.
Yes.
Angaston accounted for Kapunda quite easy. 113 to 88, but we'll see a closer score with Kapunda having a full side.
Yes.
Matty Short. 33, defeated Cat Green, 19. Quickly, Rick, that's the scores from last week. I just want to mention, lucky enough, the other week when I was getting a hiding at Modbury in midweek bowls.
Certainly you were,
I stayed on like a big man would.
Precisely.
And I had the pleasure of watching young Noah and young Jaden Green playing with Ashton Marnie in a triples comp. It was for a gold medal in the under 18s.
Right.
And I tell you, Noah's 7 years old and the others aren't much older. They bowled magnificently. I wish I bowled half as well as them.
Really?
They won the silver medal. And as I said, Noah's 7 and Jaden's 9 or 10. And Ashton's a couple of years older than that. But they're playing the under 18s. And then Jaden went on to win a bronze medal in the pairs with young Hilly from Bury. So he's had a real good under 18s tournament. So congratulations to the Green boys and the Green family and very talented family.
Well, that is lovely to hear that. And it's great to hear about the youngsters getting involved.
Yeah, and playing sport and not sitting on their computers. Sorry, the last I did miss another game. That was after the Kapunda game. Tanunda played Freeling and Freeling won that quite comfortably with Keith Ward. He lost to Rodney Sheen 24-35. So that was the last game. So the ladder stands quickly. I mucked the ladder up the other week, Rick.
Oh, no.
I know. You can't believe that, can you?
We must have a lot of very, very keen listeners who can pick up on your plentiful mistakes.
So I'm going to go with what I saw on the computer today was Angaston, Lindock.
Did you write it down properly?
Yes. Mount Pleasant in fourth. But it is so close down to seventh that one win here and there and it'll be, they can jump three or four positions.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've said that bit. So, Linda, we've got a couple of tournaments I want to
Push.
Sing out. Lindocker got Dave Horsler Day, which I happen to be playing in.
Just by chance.
Yep. Newry have got a Don's Breakfast coming up, right, which I happen to be playing in.
Just by chance.
By chance. And one I want to see you at in the next, in March the 17th.
Yes.
Alf Skuse Day.
Oh.
Lost old Alfie, yes, you know.
Yes.
They've got a day for Alfie.
All right.
So I'm playing in that one. Kay sent me an email and said, could you play? And rah, rah, rah. So I've got a team up and we're coming up. So I'd like to see you there that day.
Well, right? I beg your pardon, you've got a team up. Aren't I in it?
No, 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 oh, no, no. You're a super side bringing up here. Oh,
you mean I'm only the ball boy? Hey, thanks for that. That's great. Quick, I mean, at least I now understand where I'm at.
You're way down on the pecking order,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, obviously.
Quickly, Shane Marsland was listening to us across the Nullarbor last week.
Oh, right.
Or a week before.
Yes.
He was driving a truck over there.
Right.
And he's listened to a whole heap of... He probably fell asleep.
Oh, no.
So he just sent me a text saying that listening to you driving across the Nullarbor. One bit of a... I was talking to him the other night.
Yes.
Aaron Ayres.
Ayres?
Out for 8 weeks.
What?
Vintage.
I thought he might have done a hammy.
Wouldn't have been a heart muscle.
Out for eight weeks.
Yeah, vintage. He starts vintage. Ooh. Big loss for Lindock. Well, big hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big hole. Quickly.
Well, the interesting thing will be once they've done vintage, where they're going to put all the wine that they can't sell already that's full. But anyway, that's
and the bowl season will be over, that's and right. Ayres, you'll have all this wine. Oh, we can drop it somewhere, can't he?
I know Ayres pretty well. He won't give it away.
Oh. Quickly, I'm not sure whether I can even announce this, but I'm going to wish Dave Wilson, who goes into hospital for a bit of a hard op on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day.
Oh, it is too.
Hell.
Gee, I better remember for the producer.
I'm very surprised that Dave's going in for this op because I didn't know he had a heart. He listens to us, Dave.
No, but all the best, Dave.
He's
got it all wrong.
What?
He's going in so they can try and find it.
Oh, and I put one in.
Yes.
No, all the best, Dave. And
yeah,
I only heard today that you're going in, so all the best to you. Yep. And hope you come out the other end well and good. Quickly, Rick, off of Bowles. Bowles is done with.
Oh, all right, I've woken up now. Yes, go.
Okay. Got my mate's son, Benny Hallam. He was on the pro golf tour for a couple years.
Yes.
I was talking to him. Oh, that was the same day that I got a hiding at Modbury at Bowles. I was talking to him down there. Benny is a Teacher Gully greenkeeper.
Yes.
Right? He's won the greenkeeping SA title.
Oh,
SA title,
yes,
in golf. He's a brilliant golfer. Went on, represented South Australia in the Australian, won the Australian title.
Oh,
he now is, what's today, Thursday?
Yes.
Today he is in America playing for the World Championship of SA, like the Greenkeepers
Award.
Representing virtually SA Greenkeepers, but Australia over in the World Championship of Greenkeepers.
He will be genuinely in huge demand, whether he wins it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
Brilliant golf. I've watched him a few times. Yeah. Oh, God, he can hit a ball. And anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up. There's Graham, who listens to us, his dad, was a good workmate of mine. And Benny, we wish Benny all the best over in America today, basically. So
we certainly do.
So that's all I have over here,
is
Rick.
That all, that's your golf covered. Now, Phil, I know that golf has been your number one, but I'm sure that it's actually snuck into second position because of the excitement and closeness of the West Indies Tour of Australia Test Series, eh?
Rick, I've got here today. I forgot it even started today. At 1:50 or something it started, got the pink ball test.
Yeah.
5 for 64.
Yeah, and they won the toss. I mean, the trouble is that we won't go into a sermon on it, but it is crisis time.
Mm.
The ICC, if they... They must be like an ostrich with their head in the sand if they don't realise that something very dramatic has to be done. The fact is, surprise, surprise, this inequality between Australia and the West Indies is not a surprise.
Mm.
The cricket world knew it was coming because the West Indies are in fight. The West Indies Cricket Board, the people who run the show, they're just simply, putting it bluntly, broke. As is the South African Cricket Board. Now, you've got, okay, sorry for going back to my era of cricket.
I mean, can anybody remember back that far?
Oh, Roberts, come on. Anyway, Clive Lloyd, Viv Richards, Alakashore. Anyway, but can you? It's hard to actually imagine that the powerhouses of the West Indies and South Africa are now at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
But for good listeners who mightn't follow it as closely as perhaps you and I do, there is a very logical reason why it is like it is. The West Indies basically are touring Australia, who you can argue presently are probably the number two cricket team in the world to the Indians. But they've got seven of their best players not even here. Mm. Now, the reason they're not here is because they can't afford to be here. Because the West Indies Cricket Board can't, within a bull's roar, match the salaries being offered by the big three, Australia, England, India, that if you come from, you know, the back barrels of the island of whatever, you can't afford to be paid a pittance when you can go to one of these one-day T20 leagues and make more money than you've ever dreamt of.
Yeah, I think it's Abu Dhabi at the moment or somewhere they're playing this one-day cricket.
And the trouble is that unless the ICC, as it were, grab the situation by the proverbials and do something about it, this is going to continue. As the great Brian Lara said recently, this new young supposed superstar, Shamar Joseph, the bloke who knocked over Smith first ball, and what's more, scored 38 can hit the ball.
He must be able to bat.
Right, guess what? He'll play this current test that started today, possibly one or two, and he'll go because he comes from a little island in nowhere, 2.5 hours from nowhere, earned, as I think you said, practice using lemons
or something. Bowling with a lemon.
Now, is he going to say, oh, look, I love playing for the West Indies, but I'll knock back the $2 million at some T20? So the problem is, the only answer to that is, if Dreamworld, the ICC somehow can gather, demand a money contribution from the big three to go into a pool to share amongst the lesser lights, the South Africans, the West Indians, the Zimbabweans, the Pakistan, who knows, you know. Mm. But so that these players who are going to, who would be great test cricketers, aren't tempted to go because they simply can't afford to stay. And that's the problem.
You know the problem is too much money in sport. There's the problem.
There is, but then that is, you've opened the proverbial chestnut because the funny thing is that we're talking about money in cricket. That's peanuts compared with the money that a soccer player, an American baseballer, basketballer, whatever are getting. It, I mean, you know, I think we've talked on the show before, we probably should forget about the term sport and call it entertainment.
Yeah.
But the money has just become the be-all and all, end-all God. I mean, gone, and, you know, and I think I've mentioned this before, gone are the days from the sublime to the ridiculous. In our day, we got paid $50 for playing 4 days. Now you get $50 per minute, you know. You know, there's no happy balance in between. And without preaching any longer, I'll just remind the listeners that although T20 and one-day cricket is being blamed for the dilemma we're in, this really started in 1976 when Packer produced World Series cricket and when the likes of our state cricket team, including Ian Chappell, et cetera, all were convinced to go and play World Series, World Series cricket because they could become professionals. Mm. So it started a long time ago. It has it is sped up, of course, but the dilemma is not going to go away. So if you want to protect, you've got to unite together, join hands,
yep.
and make it viable. And until that happens, you know, if where money speaks all languages and money is power, if you have to come to the board party yep. of the big power brokers, i.e. mainly Indian, then so be it, if you want cricket to survive.
Well, if you want test cricket.
Yes.
I mean, all those test cricket's gone.
It's gone.
Good night, Josephine,
and basically. It's rubbish for the people to say it's not entertaining. It's not at this level now because of the inequality, but you can't tell me that England-Australia Ashes series that's just gone wasn't entertaining. It was of the highest value you could have. Mm. So it can work, but you can't have inequality.
Rick, tell me about your Friday at the test match.
All 2 hours of it.
I text you on the Thursday night. I said, get on the 4:15 train. You won't see any cricket tomorrow.
Yeah, for our good listeners, rightly or wrongly, due to my background, I'm a member of the ACA, which is the Australian Cricketers Association. They put on a free day at the test every year for us to get together. Lovely day.
How about take a mate?
Yeah, I could have, but I chose not to.
You didn't have one.
That's correct. Anyway, what happens is that, you know, they find a room. The other day it was the Gil Langley room, beautiful viewing area. And honestly, you are served sitting there watching through the open glass, you know, windows, etc. You are served constantly food and booze or drink or whatever.
Look at you.
Yeah, but of course, the funny thing is, and then I'll stop, which the listeners might enjoy. So, you know, again, we won't talk about, I guess it's money, why they started at 10 o'clock in the morning rather than the old traditional 11 o'clock. For 2 hours, we've done nothing but eat and drink and talk and watch the cricket. The game finishes, and then they announced they were about to serve lunch. Oh,
that's right up my alley. How about I go next year?
I'll take you next year.
We've got a few minutes.
Did I really say that?
Did you want to touch on the DRS quickly, or are we going to leave that for our next show?
I think we'll leave it till next show, okay. Other than to say something, just like the financial situation in cricket has to happen. Something has got to be done by the ICC about DRS, and we will talk about it
okay.
next show.
We'll leave that till next
we
week.
We will
show.
Indeed. So, I think it's time that says he looking desperately for.
Yeah, now he's lost the page for the joke.
I think he has.
No joke is a good joke.
Well, there you go.
There's your bookmark lying on the.
I know, it fell out. So, well, good for. This is good radio.
Yeah.
No, I think. Oh, no, here we go. I found it.
You
ready?
Found it. Yep. Oh, I can't
okay,
wait.
I know you can't wait. The captain had just told the team his game plan, and he concluded with the following: "Righto, lads, that's the game plan. You may think it's a case of six of one and half a dozen of the other, but I assure you it's nothing of the sort. In fact, it is exactly the opposite."
Yeah, I wish he hadn't found it.
Sounds a bit like Dizzy Gillespie, doesn't it? I didn't say
Dizzy,
that.
Dizzy, how's he going?
I didn't say that.
How is he going? Did you see him down there?
Now, just so we're closing, right, you've got me on the wagon now. What about the other day? Now, I would like to consider that anything I'm about to say is not an inference concerning anything political, racial or anything else. Dizzy Gillespie comes out the other day and recommends, I guess, as coach of the South Australian Redbacks, that the 26th of January, Australia Day, should be changed. Now, all I'll say to our good listeners is the following. Isn't that strange or somewhat inconsistent when, I went back and checked it because I'd heard it before, when the great Dizzy, and he was a great cricketer and a great opening bowler for Australia, when he was first picked to play for Australia, neither he nor the press mentioned not once that he had Aboriginal background. I think that's enough said for the day, Philip. So until next week.
Happy Australia Day.
And happy Australia Day to our listeners as well.
Yep.
Okay, until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.